It was Mr. Starr himself who wrote the committee on September 25th, 1998, and this is what he said. At the time we submitted our referral, we reviewed these questions about his conduct as incidental and tangential. Nonetheless, the issue has now been raised publicly and appears to bear on the substantiality and credibility of the information we provided to the House. We agree with the independent counsel that his conduct bears on the subject of its review, and there are at least three important issues. First, after 4 years of investigation, the part of the case which has caused this impeachment referral was the Lewinsky matter. However, it is not clear whether the independent counsel jumped the gun on getting into this area based on the exaggerated and perhaps even manipulated statements of Linda Tripp. It may have begun its dealings with Ms. Tripp earlier than it has now said before. It accepted Linda Tripp's apparently unlawfully obtained tapes and then wired her to trap Ms. Lewinsky before it was given authority by the court to get into these matters. Second, once it did get involved, its dealings with Ms. Lewinsky, when the independent counsel staff detained her for 10 hours despite her asking for a lawyer, with her mother, who was brought to tears by their conduct, with Ms. Curry, who they returned to the grand jury again and again with leading and suggestive questions, and with other witnesses, all raised the issue of the quality of the evidence that they obtained and have now used as the foundation for their referral. Because as the weight of evidence diminishes, so must the conclusions the independent counsel has done, so too the committee must evaluate the quality and substantiality of the evidence. Finally, if the committee compares the charges and the main points of evidence from the 450-page referral with the news stories that appeared between January and August, it will confirm that not one charge, not one allegation, and not one piece of evidence, from the Tripp tapes to the stained blue dress, was not leaked to the press. The independent counsel has been asked to show cause why it should not be held in contempt for leaking, and the outcome of that determination, when it is made, as Mr. Starr's invitation would seem to agree, bears on the substantiality and on the credibility of the evidence. In that same vein, members of the committee, consider this. When the referral was finally delivered to the House of Representatives on September the 9th, 1998, and it was locked in a secure room, in a matter of minutes, the media reported on how many pages and how many counts it contained. Certainly, the committee knows that that information could not have come from Capitol Hill, where the boxes remained under seal. Chairman Hyde, Ranking Member Conyers, and members, for only the third time in the 200-year history of our country has an impeachment process been invoked. As members on both sides of the aisle have said, this is not a step that should be undertaken lightly, and it is one, as the Democratic members have argued, that should not lead to a fishing expedition to find something better than that which has been sent in the original referral. The staff has been asked to make a preliminary evaluation of the charges and of the evidence. This preliminary review indicates that the charges are often overstated, based on strained definitions of what is an offense under the law, are often not supported by the actual evidence in the boxes, and are sometimes, as with the case of counts 10 and 11 in the referral, the product of zeal to make a case rather than to state the law. As the minority staff, we have fewer resources than our counterparts, just as the majority has more votes than the minority to pass whatever inquiry it believes is right. But it should be the weight of the evidence and not the number of votes that matter. Congresswoman Lofgren provided the staff with some history for us to read. In one piece, Alexander Hamilton was called upon to explain the impeachment process to the people being asked to adopt the Constitution. And this is what he said. Prosecutions of impeachment will seldom fail to agitate the passions of the whole community and to divide it into parties more or less friendly or inimical to the accused. In many cases, it will connect itself with the pre-existing factions, and in such cases, there will always be the danger that the decision will be regulated more by the comparative strength of the parties than my real demonstrations of innocence or guilt. As the committee considers the version of events the independent counsel suggests might rise to impeachable offenses, and then decides between the two alternative resolutions being presented, Hamilton's words seem particularly germane. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Conyers, and members of the committee, on behalf of the minority staff, we appreciate you indulging us the time, and we'll stand ready today and in the future to answer your questions.